Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, all three engines up and burning, 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the tire.
Welcome, welcome everybody to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen, a public speaking mentor, coach and author. My passion is mentoring introverts, authors and advocates. And for a change, I am broadcasting live from sunny Orange County in California, USA. Absolutely delighted to be here. Now, don't forget, everybody, if you're listening in North America, you can call in and chat with me and my guest today, who I will be letting you know shortly. Call in on 646-716-7979. And if you're outside North America, follow that link, which was tobtr.com/9027999. Follow the responses and put your questions in the chat, or you can message me on Facebook and we'll deal with your questions here. My guest speaker today is shining the light on someone who usually shines the light on other people. I'm going to be speaking to Michael Brook, founder of Coach on Fire Radio Network and the Coach on Fire brand. Welcome, Michael.
Welcome, Trish, and welcome to the United States, and specifically California. So I know you've got an exciting trip planned out here, and after a long flight, you're still doing your show, so I appreciate that, and it's a pleasure to be with you, Trish. And actually, we're going to meet for the first time. We know each other quite well because we talk every week, but we're actually going to meet in San Francisco Bay Area. Later
that's
this weekend,
right.
So how cool is that? Going to be lots and lots of fun. So let's have a great show, and I'm anxious to hear your usual speaking tips, which are always so awesome.
Absolutely. And that is so cool. I'm so looking forward to meeting you. Okay. My speaking tips. Well, today I'm going to be doing a little bit of a different question. It's a frequently asked question. And especially lately, today's question is, why nominate for business awards? Now, as you'll discover as I talk a little bit more with Michael, you'll see one of the reasons why I've been asked this question. So why should you nominate for business awards? Well, it's something that we don't normally do. As humans, we do have a tendency not to shine the light on who we are. And speaking from Australian small businesses specifically, it's something that we normally don't do. And as females, even more, so females, small business in Australia, we don't usually step up and say, look how awesome I am. However, the benefits of shining a light on yourself and nominating for business awards can be untold. Firstly, just nominating for the award, even if you don't get anywhere, nominating for the award helps you actually relook at your business because there's usually a lot of forms and a lot of questions. Now, that can often daunt people. And I know myself, when I've nominated for some awards recently, I absolutely detest filling out forms. And sometimes it's one of the things that has nearly put me off. As you'll soon find out, luckily, I do put my forms in and I get them in. However, when you're looking at those forms, a lot of the questions they're asking you are shining a light on your business. So you look at, and in answering those questions, you're actually getting a little bit of a view and re-looking at, well, what is your business? What is your vision? What's your mission? And you've been looking at, well, what are the successes I've had lately? The testimonials, the videos you've got. So it's a really good way, just doing the nomination, to do a little bit of a litmus check on how your business is going. And it's amazing what actually comes up, because you suddenly realize the awesome things you've been doing when you start to fill out some of those forms. The second thing is sometimes you get to be a finalist, sometimes you go straight through to find out whether you've won or not. Now, if you get to be a finalist, even for that step, that is often a step where you've come out of many people. For example, earlier this year, I got to be a finalist in the Australian Small Business Champion Awards. Now, that was a finalist with 400 people out of 1,200. So that was pretty awesome. I didn't win those awards, but I can still put on my website finalist. And it's still a really great acknowledgement of how far you've come in your business. Now, the big thing, though, is if you actually get to win one of the awards that you've put in. There are several awards that you can nominate for. And when you've won one of those, well, that goes to credibility, to acknowledging all the things that you've been doing. And you can then get to put that on your website, on your marketing material. It's a really big thing. And it's a really nice thing to step back and say, wow, this is what I've been doing. And I'm being not acknowledged for that. So where do you go to find out about the awards that are applicable for your business? Well, you won't be surprised if I say Google. If you go onto Google and Google awards, put in maybe your business or your industry, you're going to get a heaps of awards. Now, there are local awards, which is maybe to your town or your community. There are awards for your country or your state that you can put into, like there's Australian awards, there's awards for Queensland, there's a whole variety. And then, of course, there's worldwide awards. So my challenge to you out there, do a bit of Googling, find out what awards you can enter, and nominate. Now, you can nominate other people, but you can also nominate yourself. And there is nothing wrong with stepping back and saying, wow, these are the things I've been doing over the last 12 months. Let's put it out there and just see what everybody else thinks. So there's my challenge to you. Nominate for some awards this week and see how you go. Let me know how those awards go and let me know if you are successful or not. That's my answer to the frequently asked question this week, and you'll also find out shortly as we go along in our show today a couple of other reasons why I've been asked that question. My next radio show, as I do every time I do my show, I will be sharing tips, techniques, and strategies each show. So if there is something you would like answered, email me on info@trishell.com.au. That's info@trishell, trishell.com.au, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. Now, I'm delighted to share a little bit about review about my guest today. Michael Brooks, as I mentioned, is the founder of Coach on Fire Radio Network and the Coach on Fire brand. Michael works with transformational coaches, healers, authors, and others in the online personal development arena to get noticed, be seen, and be heard by positioning themselves as experts and doing that by sharing their authentic story or message. Now, that's either via traditional and digital media, along with other publicity, public relations strategies, mindset, marketing, and motivation. Michael is a very busy person. Additionally, Michael and Coach on Fire helps coaches and those who want to be develop a new level of clarity and confidence on how to stand out to create a deeper level of transformation in their clients and generate a positive impact in the world by giving back. Now, Michael is a born and bred Californian who now lives in Boise, Idaho. He's spent over 20 years in the political world, where he learned the nuts and bolts of media relations. Among many others, he has worked for President Ronald Reagan and Congressman Jack Kemp. As an entrepreneur, he found that it took a little more effort to get publicity for a small business. So Michael had to learn new digital age strategies and tactics to get his message out through the media and multi-channel platforms. He's been successful and has started getting regular media attention for his business. Other small and home businesses came to him and wanted to know how he did it. So today, Michael is a critically acclaimed author, entrepreneur, and media mentor, publicity coach. And when not doing all of those, he's a radio host whom has helped many small and home businesses around the country obtain positive exposure. And not just this country, Michael has also helped those around the world, because it's through Michael, and I'm from Australia, that I've been able to come on to the Coach on Fire radio show and share my expertise. Michael holds an undergraduate and graduate degrees in political science, public policy, and the law. And he is the author of the book, Don't Seek Success, Be Happy. Now, that awesome person who is helping small businesses and entrepreneurs get that publicity is right here with me today. Hi, Michael. How are you?
Well, hello, Trish, and I'm humbled by that. It makes me sound probably a little better than I am. I just kind of like to help people and go out, but thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Okay. I'm looking forward to just finding out a little bit more of who Michael is behind all of that impressive things that he's been doing. What's the one thing that you would like to share with us, I guess, about why we should be putting ourselves out and stepping up and being a radio show host? Because I think that's one of the things that people often ask me is, well, what did you do? Why did you go with Michael? How did you do it? And I thought, I'd like to share what you think is really great about offering that possibility to people.
Well, that's a pretty simple answer, Trish, because think about what you see when you watch a television or you see an advertisement on the internet or the radio, whether you're in Australia or Great Britain. We have hosts from all over the world on the Coach on Fire networks, both the radio and the television networks, which are digital. They go over the internet. They're not necessarily traditional media. But what do you first think about when you see an advertisement? You almost instantly distrust it because you know it is an advertisement. Now think back to the news anchors that you watch daily, or the radio talk show hosts that you listen to. Or if you see a news story on a news program where that anchor or that reporter happens to be interviewing somebody, and it's a story that you might happen to be interested in, you not only listen and pay attention, but psychologically, because they're on the news, because they're on a radio talk show, or because they're on some other format that is not considered in general advertising, you get a trust factor that simply can't be matched no matter how much you're paying for advertising and branding. So you're still doing branding when you're on a traditional television show, or, and we'll talk a little bit more about how to do that later in the show, but whether you're an interviewee on a radio talk show host or a guest on a morning talk show on television, that's giving you credibility, it's giving you trust that simply cannot be bought. MasterCard says, for everything else, something's priceless, and for everything else, you use MasterCard. Well, if you use MasterCard to buy advertising, you're going to have so many different frequencies and duration in order to do it. It's going to break the bank for most small businesses. In fact, you never want to do radio or television advertising unless you have those three elements: frequency, duration, and consistency. And most small businesses simply can't afford it to do it effectively. But if they see you on a morning talk show or on a news program, you gain instant trust and instant credibility because that anchor or that reporter has built up trust with their audience over time by doing story after story after story. So they think you're someone special. Whereas if you're doing it simply through Facebook ads or Google AdWords, or even traditional advertising on radio or TV, there's an instant distrust, and it takes much time to overcome that distrust through traditional advertising and branding. takes a lot of time to do that, and that's where that frequency, duration, and consistency come in if you're paying for advertising. You don't have that if you're being interviewed on a radio show, like I'm being interviewed here, or you're hosting a radio show like you are, Trish. That comes a lot quicker because then you can put that stuff out there. Say you're on a traditional, Good Morning Brisbane or something like that. I don't know if they have those types of shows. I'm sure they do over there in Australia, Trish. But here they have, local morning shows prior to the big national shows at 5 a.m. in the morning. And they have local, good news types of stories. And if you can place yourself on one of those shows and then repurpose it digitally online, that one story can have a global presence for you that simply can't be bought. As MasterCard says, it's priceless.
Absolutely. I think you've touched on some very great points there. One of the things that I'd like to talk to you about, if someone's thinking about having a radio show and stepping up because they've been listening to what you've said and they've sort of heard that, aha, that's something I have to be doing, what are the things you think they need to have in place before they start that's going to help them leverage that radio show and be successful?
Well, they need to have, generally I work with people that, have a business and they want to get noticed, be seen, and be heard. In other words, they have a message, they have a story, they have an expertise that they want to broadcast to the world. And one of the ways to do it, and it's certainly not the total answer to your business, but one of the ways to do that is to host your own radio talk show or podcast, because that gives you, again, we go back to the, advertising versus media relationship. Advertising breeds distrust initially. Radio, television, and other forms of traditional media do not. Digital media does not. Because you're hosting a talk show, Trish, you have, they think you're an expert already, even before you've said one word. Because, wow, Trish has a talk show. She must be important. She must be special. There's something in the brain that triggers that psychologically through our culture because of the way we've grown up with, remember, of course, I've always got to, I'm U.S.-centric because I'm from the USA, but there was a very, very famous anchor for years and years and years on the CBS News Network here, a television national anchor, by the name of Walter Cronkite. Now, Walter Cronkite was probably on the air for 30 years, but probably for the last 12, 13 years of his tenure on CBS before he retired, he was considered the most trusted man in America. So could you imagine being interviewed by him? And the audience watching that, the mere mention of Walter Cronkite interviewing you gives you that instant trust and credibility. And the same with your local news anchors. You don't even have to go national. You see so many publicity gurus out there saying, don't bother local, try to get on Oprah or try to get on, one of the national morning shows. Well, you don't have to start that way. Certainly it would be awesome. But you can start with your local news programs, and we'll talk again a little bit about how to do that because there is a trick to it. But then you can take that and you can put it on your social media account. You can put that interview on Facebook. Put it on Instagram. Take a photo, a snapshot of one of the images from the video clip from the television show. Put it on Instagram, tweet it out, put it everywhere you can possibly think of. And today, in today's day and age, especially most of us as coaches and online experts, have global audiences. As I said, with our network, we are quite literally global. We have a host, native from South Africa. We've got three from Great Britain. You down in Australia, and we have another awesome host, Helen Ryan from Australia. I'm quite literally talking to people from around the world every day. So even a local news story can give you that global credibility, that global trust, if you repurpose it properly after it has already been broadcast or aired. When you host a radio talk show, you get that same type of thing. Whether you're being interviewed or you host it. Now, if you're hosting, you know, you're doing it on a consistent basis, which is also key to podcasts if you're just doing a recorded show or things like that. You can't do it really well. You've got to be consistent if you're actually hosting or being interviewed. You've got to do it on a regular basis, similar to advertising. But the trust and credibility you get from something like that is far greater for much less cost than you could ever do in terms of buying advertising. It's just, you know, there's quite literally no comparison. Does it happen overnight? No, of course not. Like anything, it takes a lot of work. As you know, Trish, putting all these shows together, you know, it takes time. It takes effort. You have to, you know, research your guests. You've got to talk to them. And then you've got to obviously do the show. And then you've got to pre-promote and you've got to post-promote. But if you do that consistently over time, you will gain more from that than you will from paid advertising, which quite literally for many of us small businesses will break the bank. It's just too expensive. So over time, I think that trust and credibility factor is the number one reason to, and the barriers to entry now, as you know, are so low. Just probably 10 years ago, it would have been difficult for you to host a radio show because internet radio didn't really exist. Internet TV didn't really exist. So you would have to pretty much rely on, bugging a station manager and trying to get on traditional radio. And then you would just have that local audience. You wouldn't have the global audience you have today. I can guarantee you tonight, we've got, you know, people from your home country and Australia listening like crazy because you have a big following there in Australia. You've got people, you know, listening simply because I'm on in the United States. We have people listening all over the world. If you're on traditional media, that can't happen. But again, you can repurpose that for a global audience. Just because someone's interviewing you, they give you that. I keep going back to it, and I've said it a million times, but that trust, that credibility simply can't be bought by doing digital media and audio. And your previous guest, Ron Flevaz, you know, has a podcast with 2.2 million global listeners. You know, now it took him a long time to build up to that. But, he's probably the top podcaster in all of Australia right now, by far. And you had him on your show. That's the other cool thing about this. The guests that you get and the guests that we've had on the Coach on Fire Network have just been unbelievable people. And they bring an audience to you that you might not otherwise get. So how can you do that with advertising? You simply can't. So I highly recommend it. It's a very, very good, productive, and profitable way over time to get noticed, to be seen, and to be heard. In other words, to get your message out, to get your story, to get your expertise out there, and to gain that trust and that credibility.
There's nothing better than that, and I would heartily agree with everything that you've said, Michael. I've actually heard of Walter Cronkite myself, so it's not just American.
Hey,
I remember
good.
Hearing of him. Yeah. I actually remember hearing of him and watching him. Oh, it was a few years back now, but the name certainly stuck in my mind. And he, as you said, so it wasn't just through America, it was sort of global that he went. He was a well-known figure. I have to agree with you, too, about the consistency. And one of the things that I love is, and I've been mentioning, is repurposing and leveraging. And that's the side product. It's not just the live radio show that we're doing here now and with everybody listening. But sometimes the pure gold in that is the replays and what you do with that, how you share that replay out to people, and then how you repurpose that replay, how you can
absolutely,
turn it
Trish.
Into
and
a podcast.
And that's more important. And if you look at for most of our hosts on the statistical end of things, the vast majority, and this is just the nature of digital radio and podcast, the vast majority of listeners come on that replay. Now, you know, you might have, 100 listening live at any one time coming in and out like they do on traditional radio. However, the replay is where the gold is. because if you repurpose it right, if you promote it right, then the replay statistics is where you're getting most of your mileage or most of your kilometers if you're from another country. That's where you're getting most of the exposure is on that replay. So it's very, very important. And that consistency that you mentioned is essential. And one of the reasons, you know, we have 10 awesome hosts on the Coach on Fire Network is I kind of force them into that consistency. I see far too many people that start podcasts on their own and will do one week, and then 5 weeks down the road, they'll do another. And then maybe 8 weeks later, they'll do another, or they'll stop for a couple of months and then do another. That simply doesn't work. You need to have that consistency. And whether it's every 2 weeks or once a month or every week, the consistency is what makes the grade there. The consistency is what does it. And the consistent repurposing as well through the replay. And obviously, you know, to get live listeners, the promotion early on. And, you know, who's your guest, and getting your guest to promote for you as well. Because, you know, our experience has been our shows that have their guests also promote it, where it's a win-win for both the guest and the host. When you get your guests to maximize their promotion ability, you're really creating a synergy there that can't be beat. And you gain a whole new audience. They gain a whole new audience because you've got your own followers and your own people that are listening to you consistently. And they've got people that know and trust them and want to hear what they have to say on your radio show. So people that would not otherwise be exposed to you are then exposed to you simply by the person you're interviewing. And Trish, you can attest to this. People always ask me, well, isn't it hard to get, you know, really big A-list people on your show, especially when you're just starting out? Well, the answer to that is not really. Most people are generally very, very good about helping out someone, even if they're new. Occasionally you'll get someone that will want, you know, I want to, you know, you have to have an audience of this size or that size, or, you know, it's not worth my time. But that is very, very rare. Just doesn't happen very often in our experience. So how do you get a guest like that? You contact them. You say, hey,
absolutely.
I've got this podcast, or I've got this radio show, and yeah, I'm new, and I don't know, you know, anything about, you know, our audience, but, you know, I'm trying to work on it and repurpose it, and I'll promote it for you, and I'll promote you, and if you promote it, we'll have a win-win situation, and it'll be a lot of fun, and I'm so looking forward to interviewing you because I so admire you, and I had known about you for a while, and I followed you from afar and admired you from afar. Could you please come on my radio show, even though it's a tiny radio show right now, and not maybe the huge exposure that someone famous might be used to? 9 out of 10 times, they are going to tell you yes. So don't be afraid to contact the big fish. And I can prove that time and time again with all of our awesome hosts from around the globe. We have had our 9th month with the Coach on Fire Network. And the guests we have had are just been out of this world, top level guests. And I cannot think of anybody that we have contacted or any of our hosts have contacted that have said no. One of our hosts right now, Heidi Dietrich, is in Chicago. She got a New York Times number one best-selling author on her show, just by calling him up and saying, "Hey, I love your book and I've admired you and I've followed you for so long. Would you please come and do, you know, my third radio show ever?" And I don't even know what my audience is yet, but I know that I'm trying, and I followed you, and I'm following the recommendations in your book. Would you please come on my show? I'd love to interview you because it would be such an honor. Now, it took some scheduling gymnastics because he's so busy to get him on, but we did it. And this very week, Heidi is in Chicago at this author's workshop and conference. And after that radio show, Heidi was invited to speak at his event this week. And I just talked to her last night. She's down there and so excited and meeting lots of really cool, wonderful people from quite literally around the world. And I believe her talk goes tomorrow, even tomorrow or Saturday. But anyway, she's all excited, and that all happened out of her radio interview. So the networking aspect of it might not seem obvious, but it's definitely because whoever you interview is going to remember you. So you can contact them again and say, hey, I've got this idea. What do you think? Because you've interviewed them already. And not only is it fun to interview them, think of, you know, potential collaborative things that you can do later on. As, you know, Heidi is an example at this conference. And she was invited by him after that interview to do that. So how cool is that?
I agree. It's one of the things that that is the side benefit and the hidden gold. And I've also got a couple of my earlier guests. I'm doing a joint venture with a couple of those that has arisen out of discussions that we've had. I might just put a hold on there just a minute, Michael, and we'll just remind people that we are here live. We're talking with Michael Brooks, who's the founder of the Coach on Fire radio show. If you want to ask a question, please, in America, North America, call in on 646-716-7979. And outside of North America, just follow the links. You will have been listening in on TOBTR.com, 9027999. Just follow the prompts into the chat there and leave your question. Or, of course, you can send me a private message on Facebook and I'll pass your questions on to Michael. We are listening and speaking with Michael Brooks. We've been discussing very much in depth the benefits of being a radio host or being interviewed as a guest on a radio. And we're looking at the pros and cons of it. And I can't really come across very many cons that I can see, because I think it's a win-win situation for everybody. And the Your Live Radio, we've been discussing how some of the pure gold is often in the replays and how you use those replays and how you repurpose and leverage. One of the things I would suggest that you do if you've not been doing and if you've been thinking of getting onto a radio show is looking and speaking with someone like Michael, because he can actually give you a lot of suggestions on how you can get into it as a joint host, like we've been doing with Coach on Fire Radio. And his benefits of that, as he said, is that it means you don't have to be doing it every week. You can have your slot every 2 weeks here, and you can also have the supportive environment of a whole group of people helping you if this is something that you're new at. The other suggestion I would be saying is make sure you do push those replays. Whether you're doing podcasts or live radio, push the replays out through your social media network, and making sure perhaps that you have a page on your website which would be headed up for your radio and having those links in there. Also, every now and then, go back and re-put out the links for your earlier shows so that people are always being reminded who you've had before, advertising them, shining a light on them again, and just keeping that interest up. That leads me to something I wanted to just ask. Something you brought up, Michael, was about the local news programs. And you said you had some interesting tips if you wanted to leverage your radio show and then step up and maybe get seen on some local news programs. How did you suggest that our listeners could go about doing that?
Well, especially if you have an expertise, and we all do, and we're all sharing our gifts with our expertise. The way to go about it, a lot of people think, is just, oh, I want to go talk about my business, and here's what I do. And that's simply not going to get you on the air. You've got to put yourself in the shoes of the reporter or the journalist and their audience. What would be interesting to them? And one of the ways to do that is to follow what's trending. watch those morning shows. What's working? I had a client in South Africa a while back, and she found out around Christmas time that suicide rate spiked up in her country. In fact, it has one of the highest suicide rates in the world. And so she's, you know, a coach, and she does a psychologist also. And so she does a lot of transformational type of work, and this bothered her a lot. And so we pitched the story to one of their local morning shows, Good Morning Johannesburg out there, pointing out that suicide was very high in South Africa and that Karina could come in and my clients could come in and give them tips on how people with suicidal thoughts could get them through the holidays, or how to prevent people that are suicidal from actually carrying out the act. She could give them psychological mind tips, and people that may know someone with suicidal thoughts, how they could deal with someone that might be suicidal during the holidays. And the station heated up like crazy. So she took a topic that was important to the people of South Africa and turned it into a story. And the anchor that was doing the show just said, wow, what a great story. You can see how that's of interest to the audience and to the reporter. Because really what they want is good stories. But they don't want to necessarily just hear about your business and what you do. That's not interesting. That's advertising. That's not a story. So you can always weave your story and your message into a topic that should be and will be important to the listening or the viewing audience. And if you can do that and you can pitch it in a paragraph, they will love you. Now, they'll need more supplemental material later, and you can, give them a media kit or what have you. But if you just simply do a paragraph tip, for example, I always teach people to follow just what I said, something that's trending. So what's trending in the United States recently? So you could, and if I can think of two right now, I'm not happy about this, but the Cleveland Cavaliers beat the Golden State Warriors in the NBA National Basketball Championship. The Golden State Warriors are from where Trish is headed. She's in Los Angeles right now from the Bay Area, which is my home area in California. And they were the world champions last year, but not so much this year. They got beat in a game seven after a great game seven, and Cleveland deserved to win, but the Cleveland Cavaliers won. And they have not won a championship since 1964. Now, the Bay Area, the San Francisco Giants baseball team, the Golden State Warriors, the San Francisco 49ers have lots and lots of world championship trophies. Trust me on that. The Bay Area is not lacking in that. But poor Cleveland, Ohio, what? So what can you learn from the Cleveland Cavaliers' victory where they, for the first time in history, came back from down 3-1? And then how can you tie that to your message? What you do. So what can you learn from that? Another big sports one was Muhammad Ali, who's quite literally known around the world and was a boxing champion of the United States. Died a couple of weeks ago. He passed away. He had Parkinson's disease and did a lot of great things for Parkinson's while he was alive. And he was a figure bigger than life. So how could you tie your message into what could we learn from Muhammad Ali? It's trending. And if you can tie that to your message and to your expertise, to a trending topic, a news station, particularly the morning shows, which are looking for positive stories like this, will come to you time and again after you do that once or twice. So, what can we learn about, wellness and Muhammad Ali? Or what did Muhammad Ali teach us about wellness? And then you tie it into your message, and then you're going to get your promo in, and then you repurpose that on social media after the segment has aired. And what kind of credibility and trust factor and exposure do you think you would have for your business if you were able to do something like that? So I always teach people, as negative as the news is, watch some of the morning shows or record them on TiVo or on your DVD or what, and then just, move through the stories you don't want to talk about. And look at what types of local stories they have. Look at what the reporters are thinking are good stories for their audience. And then find a way to tailor that to that audience that also gets your message out and shows your expertise and spotlights that and highlights and tie it into a trending topic, all the better. So always look at what's trending. Look at the types of stories they're doing, and always, always, always put yourself in the shoes of the reporter and the eyes and ears of the audience. And if you can do that and you can pitch it in a paragraph or so, your chances of getting on are magnified, you know, 1,000 times.
One thing I would add to that is that not to be disheartened if you don't get on the first time. Be persistent.
Absolutely.
Be persistent. Try again, change it a little bit, tweak it a little bit, and you're going to get there at one stage. The other thing I would say is, don't think you haven't got anything to share. Everybody has, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in business, and it doesn't matter whether you're from a big town city in America, or you're from a small town in America, or a big city in any of the around the world, or a small town. You have something, because that's what you started your business for. That's what your passion was. So you have a message for people. You just have to have a self-belief. And I'm a prime example of that, which is why I'm here in Los Angeles and shortly going to San Francisco. And it ties into the awards. I was brought to my attention that was some Women in Business and Profession World Awards. And I was suggested that I nominate for those awards. Now, Michael, I'm going to share with you, I came very close, really close, to not nominating for these awards, because I thought to myself, well, these are worldwide awards. I'm a small business. In fact, I'm a micro small business, because it's basically my business is myself and basically just two of my family members. And I thought to myself, how could I possibly have a chance? A small business in a small town, which is Morayfield in Queensland in Australia. So it's not a big town. And I thought to myself, well, there was that little voice of lack of self-belief and confidence sort of itched in and said, couldn't possibly have a go. And so I very nearly didn't, until I was talking to the person who pointed out to me. And I said, well, what's the worst that can happen, Trish? You don't get anywhere. So I thought, well, you're quite right. And it's like, what's the worst that can happen if you don't ask a guest to be on your show? The worst that
Absolutely.
Can happen is they say no. So I did it, and I got it in at the very last minute. And consequently, 4 weeks later, I'm here because I'm heading to San Francisco on the 27th of June, in a couple of days' time, to attend the awards dinner, because I actually won, not one, but two awards. I got the Gold Award for the Women in World Awards for Woman of the Year Mentor or Coach. And I got the Bronze Award for Female Entrepreneur of the Year, which I'm the only one of two Australians to be awarded any award in that Women in World Awards, and the only Australian to win two. And that opportunity and what's happened from that could so easily have been lost if I had listened to that little voice that said, I'm only a small business. I shouldn't be entering on the world stage. So my view to you is, if you've got something that's a message and you see something trending on your local news program, don't let it stop you. You just go out there and have a go. Grab every opportunity that comes, because you just don't know what's going to come from it. And that's why one of the opportunities I grabbed was when I found out about you, Michael, and your Coach on Fire. And I had some doubt. I thought, gosh, you know, I help people speak and I can get up and speak, but can I do a radio show? But the opportunity came and I reached out. And I think you would say that you've had loads of opportunities as well, you know, looking into what you've been doing. And you've done the same thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and that's a very, very good point, Trish. And congratulations on the awards, by the way. This is so exciting for you to be in the United States, to be able to, I know your daughter lives over here down in Southern California, be able to combine, you know, some family, quality family time, and then get two amazing awards Monday night in San Francisco. It's just absolutely awesome. And none of that would have ever happened had you not pulled the trigger and said, I'm going to do this. What can happen? What's the worst that can happen? And
Worst of calamity, don't get anywhere. So what?
And you did it. And what would you say, Trish, if I were to say, what business are most of us in as coaches and mentors and things like that? Would you say it's relationship? You know, our businesses kind of thrive on building relationships, right? Well, it's the same with the media. And here's something you're not going to hear unless you're paying a media coach a lot of money. And that is, it's the same there. So build relationships with your local media people. They reporters have a tendency to their social media platform of choice seems to be Twitter, with Instagram catching up quickly. So find out what the handles are of your local journalists and follow them, Instagram. And then if you see something, you know, because they'll tweet out a story that they did or something like that, and that also gives you added exposure. So say they do a story on you or with you, and they tweet that out. You're getting a massive additional exposure, even when you're repurposing it, that you didn't expect. I've had that happen many, many, many times for clients. And a lot of times the local story, if it's good, will syndicate to other local affiliates across the country. And we got lots of additional exposure from other local media outlets outside of her home area, simply because it syndicated out because it was such a great story. And it syndicated out on other affiliates. But it all starts with building those relationships. So follow, comment on a story that they did. Say, hey, I really like this story, and this is why I liked it, type of thing. You know, you can message them, you know, and tweet them and do things like that. And don't pitch right away when you're building those relationships. Don't, you know, say, hey, I like that story. What about my story? build that up over time a little bit. Follow them for a while. And then if you see the types, you'll also see the types of stories that they like and that they want to do, these individual reporters. And then you can tailor your pitch Porter likes to do, because that reporter knows his audience better than you, right? So,
absolutely.
And he knows what works, and he's trying to advance in the news business, and they're very, very busy because it's a deadline-driven business. But if you start to build those relationships by following them and then commenting, they're going to start to see you. They're going to start to get to know a little bit about, you know, not necessarily who you are, but your name's going to be visible to them. And then if you pitch something to them after building that relationship a little bit and following them and admiring them for a while, they're going to be far more receptive to your pitch. They're going to say, you know what? That does fit in with what I want to do. That would be an awesome story for my audience. And that would make me look good to my bosses and my audience, and it's an awesome story, so I want to do that story. But just pitching it cold sometimes really works. It can, and I'm not saying don't go in and pitch cold. If you see something trending and you've got something to say about a trending topic that fits in with your message, don't do that. But, I mean, go ahead and do that. But building those relationships over time will, with the local reporters, will enhance your visibility with them and make it far more likely that you will eventually get on the air with a story. So, and it also teaches you about what interests them, what kind of stories they like to do. So very, very important. And for reporters, Twitter and Instagram.
Yes.
And here's something else that a lot of people like to hide. There are a couple of, one in particular. If you want to do podcast interviews or things of that sort, you can subscribe to a thing called radioguestlist.com. They'll send you emails from time to time for podcast, regular traditional podcast, or looking for interviewees. And they'll say, okay, we're looking for interviewees on this topic or that topic. And then you can pitch your topic to them, and they might have you on their regular podcast. And some top podcasters sometimes use that. And even if they're not a top podcaster, being interviewed is, you know, almost as good as hosting, if not as good. So
yeah,
you can go to those podcasts.
That.
And then there's another thing called Help a Reporter Out. It's called Harrow. And they give you, from traditional television, radio, and print reporters, three times a day. It's crazy what a reporter is looking for. So say the reporter has an idea for a story, and he needs an expert for that story. He will send out a little blurb on the thing, okay, I'm looking for an expert on Alzheimer's disease. And I want my expert from my local town and have a degree or what have you. And then you can look at those and decide which ones are worth pitching. Now, you might not always get it, but they're actually out there asking you, hey, I need an expert. They're holding their hand up high and they're saying, I need an expert. Can you help me? And that's where the name comes from. And it's just, you know, I believe the website is helpareporterout.com, spelled out, but it's HARO for short. And three times a day, because they have almost every major outlet and minor local outlet that you can think of. And these reporters will go into their website and they'll type out a little thing. I'm looking for an expert on this, or I want to do a story on this. Can you help me?
And, two great tips there, Michael. And I'll have to bring you in just a bit because we're going to be running out of time shortly. But those are two great tips that you have shared. And actually, I'll let you into people. I have actually on both of those myself. I get them regularly and follow them. Even though I'm in Australia and they're American, they're still applicable to me. And for those who are in Australia,
don't let the American-centric thing of these sites stop you. And, of course, on the Coach on Fire Networks, Trish, we've got 10 hosts from around the world here.
And they're all looking for people.
And you can always contact any of our hosts directly. You can go on our Coach on Fire fan page and see who all of our hosts are and what their shows are about. Listen to some of the shows, get a feel for what they do, and then say, hey, I want to be a guest on your show. Or, you know, contact me directly, and I'll put you in touch with some of our hosts. And they can decide on whether or not it's a good fit for you.
They're always
always looking for people. And like I said, we have 10 hosts on the network. We're also in the process of launching a television network via the Blab platform. In fact, I was just a guest hosting today with one of our hosts, Victoria Haffer, and we did a show on at-risk youth. Not something you would typically think that we would do from a standpoint where we're interviewing coaches all the time. But it was an absolutely awesome show, and quite literally she came to us and said, could I be on one of your shows? And she has this an expressive art center, and she showed us the art because, you know, you want to be visual on television, and it was absolutely awesome. So think about what you want to do. Go on our fan page and just message me or contact one of our hosts directly, and we'll get you in touch, and you can get on that way. Because we're always looking for awesome guests, and we know that many of you out there in the listening audience are. So don't overlook the Coach on Fire Networks as well. There's lots, and the best part is you're doing it for free.
Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely do. Okay, my last question to you before we go into closing, and it's one that I ask all my guests, and in a very short couple of sentences, let me know what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
I think a great speaker is a good storyteller. Someone that's authentic, someone that's transparent, someone that has a story that people can relate to. And if you can articulate that story in an entertaining, fun, and sometimes humorous way, and maybe possibly be self-deprecating a little bit like I am every once in a while, I always like to, when I'm giving a talk or something like that, to come up with some trending jokes and, you know, pretend like I'm Johnny Carson or Jay Leno. And, you know, I'll start out with, a bunch of one-liners. And if they fall flat and looking at the audience, then I'll make fun of myself for falling flat, telling me I need to fire my writers, hire a new comedy joke team or something like that. And that will always, even if the jokes fall flat or they don't get them, because I have a tendency to do jokes that do relate to trending topics. And if you've got an audience there that might not be aware of something, that joke can fall flat in a hurry, and then you've got a bunch of blank faces looking at you. They're not
and
laughing.
That's exactly one of the worst things.
And so one of the ways you can diffuse that in a hurry is to make fun of yourself. And I have actually done this. I've said, okay, or I'll pretend like I'm tearing up my notes and I scroll them down and say, okay, I'm firing my writers. Now let's get into what we really want to talk about.
Okay.
Talk about.
Thank
and
you.
That works every single time. Then they laugh. You know, they might not have laughed at your jokes, but if you make fun of yourself and say you're going to fire your writers and you tear up something in front of them, just kind of a visual thing, it kind of loosens the audience a little bit. And then you can get into your important, you know, speaking topic and, you know, and message. So I think, you know, being able to make fun of yourself if something seems to be falling flat is a very, very good thing. And loosening them up with, you know, with a joke or two, because they don't often, you know, go flat, but occasionally they do. Seem to on
well,
me more than other people.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's been a delight having you with me and in pretty well the same continent for today's show. Just to finish up very quickly, I'm going to share my quote for this show, which is really flowing on from what we've been talking about with opportunities. And it says, don't wait until everything is just right. It will never be perfect. There will always be challenges, obstacles, and less than perfect conditions. So what? Get started now. With each step you take, you will grow stronger and stronger, more and more skilled, more and more self-confident, and more successful. That was by Mark Victor Hansen. And I think that probably sums up our show today and the fun that we've been having. I very much have enjoyed speaking with you, Michael, and finding some of the insights about publicity, about radio shows, about either being an interviewer, being a host or being interviewed, and some of the things that you can do to build those relationships with the morning show host. And I look forward to actually meeting you, and we will be meeting in person up in San Francisco, and I'll see you there.
How awesome is that? Hey, Trish, let me turn the interviewer here since we've got just a couple of minutes left. It's been a while since you've been in California and the United States. You've been there a few hours now. What are your first impressions coming out of LAX and into the traffic and to where you are? Any funny stories you can tell us as we end?
All I can say is automatic passport control is not really automatic. It took me longer to get through an automatic passport control at the airport than it ever did when walking up and getting my passport stamped. And especially when after you've been through the automatic passport control, they ask you to go and get your passport stamped anyway. So that was really quite interesting and a bit different. Los Angeles, it is hot, because I've just come from cold, even though Queensland is a moderate temperature. It's not as hot as what Los Angeles is at the moment. And I always think that Los Angeles is dry, very dry. So I'm looking forward to finding out and exploring more within Los Angeles and in San Francisco. Needing to close off now. The time has gone by so quickly. I'm Trish Springsteen, public speaking mentor, coach, and author. I've enjoyed speaking with Michael Brooks, who is the co-founder of Coach on Fire radio show. You can contact me at info@trishell.com.au. Connect with me on Facebook at Trishell Innovative Communication Training, or my website, trishspringsteen.com. Or if you're around San Francisco on Monday night, I will be at the awards dinner at the Intercontinental. I might even see you there. Speak with you and our next show. Have an awesome evening and an awesome couple of weeks. See you in San Francisco, Michael. Bye.
I'll see you there. It's been my pleasure, Trish. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
think we missed some of that. Michael, talk to you later.